Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. Every Sunday morning, 7 to 8 o'clock, I bring you the truth in real estate. Buying, selling, everything in between. Go to ericstewartgroup.com for more information. Hey, unlike welfare, which has a five-year limit for recipients, federal public housing benefits generally are open-ended. But housing authorities in the Moving to Work program have waivers from regulations to try a range of strategies, such as requiring recipients to work, undergo job training, or open savings accounts when their income rises. The elderly and disabled are exempt from this program. Other agencies in the program halt aid after a certain number of years, with extensions granted for limited hardship cases. I think Moving to Work is particularly important because we're not only supporting those in need, but we're also providing them with the tools to one day rent or buy a home on their own. This is according to U.S. Representative John Carney, who's a Democrat from Delaware. He filed a bill this month to add as many as 60 housing authorities to the program. Some advocates for low-income people oppose a broad expansion of the program. Hey, let's figure out if this is working and what the impact of time limits and other changes is on residents, says Linda Couch. Now, Linda is the senior vice president for policy at the National Low-Income Housing Coalition. One of our key concerns is the instability that the program brings to the families of the program that it serves, Ms. Couch said. The movement comes as lawmakers face an increasingly contentious dynamic in federal public housing. Thousands of families linger on waiting lists for a place to live, while current recipients often receive benefits indefinitely. Rising rents in the private market have helped fuel demand. The Department of Housing and Urban Development reported in February that 7.7 million low-income households without housing assistance paid more than half of their monthly income in rent and/or lived in severely substandard housing in 2013. That had dropped from a record of 8.5 million in 2011, but was up 49% from 2003's figure. That is huge. Meanwhile, those who get vouchers for rentals in privately owned buildings or spots in public housing often hang on to them. The average length of stay for all households, get this, is 9.3 years for public housing and 8.3 years for vouchers, with older adults remaining longest and families with children staying less time. The disabled and those 62 or older make up about half of such households. Proposals vary on how much to expand Moving to Work. A provision in a bipartisan spending bill passed by the Senate Appropriations Committee last month would add 300 housing authorities to the project. President Barack Obama's proposed fiscal 2016 budget includes HUD's request to add 15 authorities. The agency says it's limiting the size of its request to take time to complete a comprehensive analysis of the program. In 2013, HUD's Inspector General called for improved oversight and said the department hadn't established performance indicators that would allow it to measure results of the program across the country. So HUD has since taken multiple steps to enhance oversight of Moving to Work. The Government Accountability Office said last week, while it also called on HUD to strengthen its ability to identify lessons learned. In a 2010 report to Congress, HUD said the experience of authorities in Moving to Work supported the theory that the program would incentivize self-sufficiency in residents. How about that for a concept? Incentivizing self-sufficiency in residents. Wow. Representative Carney cited the Delaware State Housing Authority, a program participant since 1999. The authority requires voucher holders and public housing tenants to work, mandates financial literacy courses, and limits subsidies to 5 years, with two-year extensions for proven hardships. About a third of the recipients seek extensions, with half of those approved, said Anas Ben-Adi, who's the director of the Delaware Authority. Nonprofit organizations and discounted on-site daycare help recipients face child care and transportation. These are the two biggest obstacles, he said. Mr. Ben-Adi said 70% of the 800 families who have been in the program have gone on to pay fair market rents, while many others bought homes. Isn't that really the goal? You know, we've talked about independence on the show today, really talked about the purpose behind having a paid caregiver come into your home is to increase your ability for independence in other areas. Perhaps it is with assisted living the same thing, someone there to support you as you recover from an illness or improve your capability. Oftentimes at the gym I work out at, I'll see a gentleman come in. He started coming in a wheelchair, and he's now moved into just using braces to come in. It's a major step, but he's had to build his muscles up over time. They were atrophied from a lack of use. He decided he would take a course in the process of getting better, a course, a regimen, in other words, of exercise, and has a professional trainer help him through the process of building muscles in key areas so that he can improve his ability. Now, some people will never be able to move out of a wheelchair. Some of you listening know this. What I'm talking about is improving our ability in whatever place we are in life. Independence, the ability for us to be self-sufficient and to live and enjoy our life in as much self-sufficiency as we can, is really the goal behind aging in place or making a move to a retirement community. We let go of one baton, we pick up another one. So is true in public housing. You know, I've recommended a book called The Tragedy of American Compassion, and I've read excerpts from that book on the show before. And it really talks about how we as America moved away from requiring a work standard to treating people like victims and giving them and giving them and giving them, essentially never weaning them and insisting on them learning how to fly. I'm encouraged to see limits in public housing for the right group of people, that people are required and that there are limits put on these things. Frankly, there are people who really need it and there are other people who don't. And some of those who don't really could have learned and could learn going forward how to become more self-sufficient, ultimately paying a fair market rent, so other families who have a greater need, the door would be open for them at the right time. This isn't a judgment. This is just an observation. Well, I've run out of time. Before my next break, I'll have something nice to say right after this.